Step away from the car.
Step away from the car.
Step away from the car. Some news about active transport.
And the fact that they let a token artist in the mix here with the urban designers and transport people was, I thought, was great on their part, just sort of an open-minded approach. So, yeah, it's been great.
Molly Wagner speaking at the Australian Walking and Cycling Conference. She's lived in New South Wales for 30 years, long enough to explore the history of her adopted land and to meet Wiradjuri woman Dr. Megan Williams. She's a public health researcher who shared the story of her ancestor Windradyne and his extraordinary walk of almost 200 kilometres. Who was Windradyne?
The Wiradjuri warrior who waged or fought against the British settlers and military back in the 1800s when they were invading Wiradjuri country. And he finally, in 1824, after martial law had been in place for several months, he realized that if his people were to survive, he needed to surrender. So he and 140 other Wiradjuri people walked to Parramatta to the annual governor's feast, and he surrendered. Martial law was ended, and several of those key administrators in the British colonial system were actually sent back to England as a result of his heroic gesture. So it's one of those sort of chills up your spine stories. And as an artist, I discovered walking art. And so when Megan mentioned this story, I thought, oh, this might be an interesting way for me to get into that, some of those ideas, as well as having this amazing historical narrative to trace, to study, to explore, and maybe express in some sort of contemporary way.
You mentioned walking art.
It came out of the land art and the site-specific art of the 1960s. Hamish Fulton in particular said, my walks are my art. And he will make long-distance walks, and then he'll bring this back into the gallery with large wall paintings, or he'll some way trace the water course that he followed. And I was so intrigued by this, because I've always loved to walk. And the idea that I didn't have to be trapped in a studio somewhere, you know, that I could go out and be in the world and somehow record that experience with a camera, with a drawing. And if I need to bring it back to the gallery, I can. Maybe I don't have to. With Instagram and stuff, it can happen that way too.
Molly is still exploring the idea of retracing Windradyne's full walk from Bathurst to Parramatta. We talked on the phone to catch up with where her process is taking her, and she's renamed her project, now called No Trespassing, the Art and Politics of Walking in New South Wales.
Places where we can walk are prescribed by an emphasis on the automobile and also private ownership of property. And I also became aware that in all the historical research I was doing, Windradyne's amazing, courageous walk is one event on these roads that are just absolutely rich with historical and political significance and artistic potentials. The walk that helped me significantly change the title and the parameters was from Sydney to Parramatta, because it's one of the oldest roads built by the British. It was opened in 1811. Parramatta and Sydney were both formed at about the same time in 1788. Only the river was how they navigated between the two areas. So I wanted to access this colonial history. You know, it was an interesting day. It was not a pleasant walk, I have to say. It really is just so many cars, so many trucks, so many buses, and it was so noisy.
Sounds like hell, really, to me.
What?
As an artist, did it inspire you?
Well, I mean, I took my pictures. I suppose I was inspired more in my conviction that somehow we really have to rethink our relationship with the car and with the environment.
Molly, let's go back to looking at this original Windradyne walk from Bathurst right up to Parramatta. You've been exploring and thinking about doing that, haven't you? What sort of things have you discovered in that process?
What I've done is make all-day walks along the roads between those two cities. I contacted the Central New South Wales Bushwalking Club and learned from them about the Cox's Road Dreaming Project. The subtitle for that is History with Your Boots On. So they put together a publication or a guidebook that traces William Cox's road that he built in 1813 between Penrith and Bathurst. But of course, that road goes through a lot of private properties. That bushwalking group is also putting together a project called the Great West Track. So they're trying to piece together walking tracks through the mountains and into the plains region. And it's interesting how history replicates itself too, because going through those mountains presents a lot of problems. Walking the highway there is almost impossible. So I've had to access things that I can via public transport. So I'll take the train out to Katoomba and walk for the day in a easterly direction. I did Katoomba to Woodford, and then I walked from Woodford to Glenbrook on the Oaks Fire Trail, and it's in a park. And I walked on a weekday, so I didn't have to be in strife with the mountain bike riders that they use that track on the weekends. The project is definitely an evolving one. It's process-based. It's experimental. I use my camera, and I'll have a notebook, and I might make maps and drawings and share the occasional passing thought that so often happens when walking.
Molly L. Wagner, pedestrian artist. Look for her online to follow her walking exploration of the route from Bathurst to Sydney. This segment was recorded at the 2017 Australian Walking and Cycling Conference and produced by Nikki Page.